So I would like you please to turn to Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke. Would you turn there, please? Luke chapter 2. The last time I was with you, I was in Luke chapter 2. It was shortly after Christmas, I do believe. And we looked at the visit of the wise men. And today, we're going to look at an event that, as far as being recorded, is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Shortly after that visit of, as far as in Matthew, we were there with the visit of the wise men, and then Christ had been presented in the temple, and Simeon and Anna saw him there. Those events all closely related to the time when the Word of God, the living Word of God, was made flesh and began to dwell among us. And today, I want us to look at an event that occurred, the only other event that is recorded, to my knowledge, after the visit of the wise men in the life of Jesus, until between that time and the time he begins his public ministry, is the event that we'll read about today. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Would you turn there? We're going to read verse 41 through the end of the chapter, and that's verse 52. The Word of God says in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." Excuse my cough. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the King James Version, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. God bless the reading of His Word, and God bless me this morning to glorify Him in preaching the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And may we be profited by the Word of God today, the reading of it and the preaching of it. May I be blessed to expound upon that. And God bless me and bless you. Thank you, brother. Let's pray, brethren, to that end right now. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for the freedom to worship. Thank you for giving us the desire to be in your house today. Thank you for loving us and making yourself known to us and blessing us to know that Christ has died for us to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we have the blessed privilege to gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior and to worship Him. And as He instructed We that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And we beg, Lord, today, the blessing of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to sing songs of praise. Thank you for these dear ones that have assisted in the leading of the worship in song. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to give back of our resources, of what you've given us. Thank you for blessing us to know that every good gift comes from you, and that Christ Jesus has saved us from our sins. Now, as we look into your word, Father, we thank you for preserving it to us, that we have it to read and study. And we ask you, Father, to bless it. May the Holy Spirit come and direct us in this time of worship. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Bless the word as it goes out, Father, and edify your church. In the name of Jesus, we beg it. The name above every name. Amen. Our first hymn this morning was Revive Us Again, and the first words to that hymn say, We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. When I sang those words this morning, I thought about this 12-year-old boy, the Son of God, and what he did there at Jerusalem. He was a baby that I preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then a couple of weeks ago when I was with you, we looked at the visit of the wise men who came from the east and fell down before that Son of God, God in the flesh. It says they fell down before him and they worshiped. They came a long journey and they found him. The star guided them and stood over the house where the young child was. He was in Bethlehem at that point in time. And it is supposed that he was maybe several months old to up to 2 years of age at that time. And those wise men were directed to him. And they were guided by that star, and they rejoiced when they saw that star because it was leading them to this baby, this toddler, this child. He's described by Matthew as a young child. And it says when they found him, when they entered into the house, they fell down before him and worshiped him. What a sight that to see. These very learned men, maybe wealthy, maybe powerful, came and fell down before that child because they knew that he was the Son of the living God. And it says after they worshiped him, they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And last time we looked at the significance of those gifts, gold, acknowledging and pointing to the deity, the royalty of that child. Frankincense, pointing to the fact that he would be our high priest. A priest offers sacrifices for the people. And Jesus, we're told in Hebrews, offered himself without spot to God in our behalf to save us from our sins. His body, his blood was a sinless sacrifice to save us from our sins. And then the third of the three gifts was myrrh. A resin that was used in embalming bodies. And that points to the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior. They brought those gifts before that little child and presented them unto him. And today, brethren, I want us to look at the event of when Christ was 12 years of age. As I said a moment ago, as far as I know, from the visit of the wise men until this time, when Jesus is 12 years of age, in human flesh, there's no mention of him. And then from the time this event is over until the time he comes preaching on the heels of John the Baptist, there's no mention of him. Very little is said about his young years. But so this one, to me, kind of stands out, this event of when he's 12 years of age. We read about it, and I would like to go back now and begin with verse 41 and just make some comments verse by verse as we go through it. And I titled the sermon right from the words of Jesus, My Father's Business. I love to read that expression. It makes me think about how Jesus was about His Father's business. And I want us to, today, two main thoughts to think about: Jesus taking care of the Father's business. And then in closing, I want us to think about, brethren, our Heavenly Father's business and how we need to be about our Heavenly Father's business. Verse 41 says, "Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." In doing some outside reading, it indicates to me that, the Word of God says very plainly that every year the Passover would be observed. And no question about that. There were three times in the year that the males of the Jewish race were to present themselves before God. The Passover and the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles and Pentecost. Those three feasts, they were annually observed in Jerusalem. I understand that it wasn't necessary that children go or that women go, but often children went and often women went, but the males were to present themselves three times a year. And it says His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. God blessed them because they didn't forsake this command of God from the Old Testament. I think that's in Deuteronomy 16:16. It names the three feasts and says that the males will appear. Well, Mary is going and Joseph is going year by year. And verse 42 says, when he, that's talking about Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Jesus was not required to go every year as a child, but I would guess that he went. I don't know that, but being the Son of God and being interested in the things of God, I would guess that he went. We know that he went in his 12th year because we're told that very plainly in verse 42. And it says in verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days. This feast of Passover or feast of unleavened bread, sometimes it's called that, lasted for 7 days. I read that some people didn't stay the whole time and some did. Anyway, it appears that Mary and Joseph stayed the whole time. They fulfilled the days and then they left. It says they returned and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Jesus, brethren, stayed behind in Jerusalem. And we'll see here what he was doing, what he was up to. Verse 44 says, they, Mary and Joseph, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They probably journeyed with other family members. It was quite a distance, some distance from Nazareth up to Jerusalem. Maybe 3 days' journey, something like that. I don't know. A few days' journey. It was a good way, and they walked probably. And they, as they traveled along leaving, did not know that Jesus was not in the company. It appears that there were other kinfolk with them, other people that they knew. One writer said that it could have been that the men were traveling together and the women traveling together in separate groups. And maybe Joseph thought Jesus was with his mom and the other women and children. And that maybe Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph and the other men and children. And that they didn't think a whole lot of it until maybe the end of the day's journey. And they began to look for him and they found that he was not with them. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and then they began to look for him. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. I don't know, I know that they were very concerned about Jesus. I don't know that they were panicking, but Mary appears to have been somewhat upset when she says, why have you dealt with us like this? We've sought thee sorrowing. They were worried about what might have happened to their son, Mary's son, Joseph's stepson. Have you ever had a child that got lost from you and you couldn't find him? or her, it demonstrates to us, it makes us all worried about it and almost panic. I have three children, and there's one occasion when my oldest son, well, there are many occasions when he got lost. He was ADD, still is. And when he was little, he would just, if something got his attention, he would just head for it. He thought nothing of it. It never occurred to him to say, you know, Daddy, I want to go see this, or Mama, I'm going here. Just never entered his mind. He would just take off. And he got lost more than once on many occasions, and we would have to look for him. His mom and his sister and brother, they went to Disney World once, and she came home and told me about him getting lost, and said she was just frantic. And she tried to get him to do an all call like they do at her school when a child's missing. She was a school principal, and she said they wouldn't do it at Disney World. I said, well, I'm not surprised. They don't do that there. But she found him, and she said he was puzzled when she found him. She was frantic, but he knew right where he was the whole time. He was not bothered in the least. He didn't know he was lost. To him, he didn't think he was lost. And then once he went with me to Washington, D.C., and we were on the mall. It was a Promise Keepers rally, and there were hundreds of thousands of men there. Of course, it was a friendly group, and I didn't feel that anybody would harm him, but he got lost. He wandered off. And his mother had warned me about taking him. She said, Joshua does not need to go with you up there. And I insisted that he go. A buddy of mine, and we went and took my son with me. And about the time the conference was ending up, I looked and he was nowhere around. And I was very much afraid. And God blessed me to find him. And he was, again, didn't even know he was lost, didn't thought nothing of it. And he just thought nothing of that. But a parent can, as you know, and maybe it's happened to you or something similar, that can happen. Let me give you one more instance of us losing a child for a little while. Our daughter, when she was probably 6 or 7 years old, our family was at Underground Atlanta. I think it was nighttime. And we were there, and we had the older son, young son, and our daughter was in the middle, probably 6 or 7 years old. And it was crowded and loud and lots of things going on, and we were watching the children, and I was nervous anyway, and I looked, and our daughter, she's gone. Can you imagine in that environment? She's just gone. And I said to my wife, where is Mary Hannah? And we both start looking, and there are people all around crowding, bumping us, and I just start turning around and around. I cannot believe that I can't see her right here. I can't believe it. And then it becomes obvious to me that she is not here with us. And I was fervently praying, of course. And I was fighting back panic. I had the urge to panic so bad. And just to start running and hollering. I didn't know what to do. And I don't know how long it was, but it was probably not more than 30 seconds or so, or a minute. But because we were about to split up and go looking. And I looked over here, and he was a security guard or a policeman, walking very slow, just walking and looking like this. And he was holding our daughter's hand. And if you're a parent, you know the feeling I had when I saw that. And I just rushed up to him, and he looked at me like, are you this child's daddy or not? Bless his heart. God be praised. She was back. And she was just gone for probably not over a minute, but it was just terror in my heart to lose her for that long. And I don't know what happened or how she got away, but God returned her. Thank the Lord. But our oldest son, I had the little boy by my hand, and our oldest son, my wife had him, and he said that Mama was about to squeeze his hand off of his wrist, that she was holding on to him so tightly. She wasn't going to lose another one, but God bless us. And so I'm thinking that Mary and maybe even Joseph had some of those same thoughts, like, what's become of him? And they go back to Jerusalem. Probably the next day, they had gone a day's journey. They may have traveled in the night, but we're not told here when they went back. But they did turn back seeking him. And verse 46 says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I don't know if that first day's journeys included in that 3 days or not, if it took them 3 days after that to find him. I'm not sure. You may have an opinion. That's fine. But anyway, it was a while before they found him. And they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. They found him in the temple after 3 days. Brethren, when I read this and meditate on it, I have the thought of, why did it take them 3 days to look in the temple, if it did? You know, they may have, with a 12-year-old, if you have a 12-year-old, where would you look? Would the church house be the first place? Well, it depends, I guess, on the 12-year-old. Or would it be the park or the playground or the market? In Jesus' day, I don't know if they had parks. They probably had playgrounds. They had places where children congregated, probably, and spent time. And my guess is that Mary and Joseph maybe went to some of those places first that were logical to them, that maybe this is where he is. Maybe. We're not told that. But apparently some time passed, and after 3 days, they found him, though, in the temple. And knowing who Jesus is and was, God in the flesh at 12 years old at this point, knowing that, maybe I tend to think, well, now that I think about it, maybe that's a good place to look, and maybe that's the first place they should look for him. And he's in the temple, and he's in the midst of doctors. That's doctors of the law, very learned men. One source said maybe it was the Sanhedrin Council itself. We're not told, but he was there amongst the very learned men in the law and prophets. And he was, verse 46, both hearing them and asking them questions. Can you picture that? Can you picture that? I don't know what the Jewish teachers actually look like in that day. A lot of things you see, they have long beards and long robes, and they're very eloquently dressed in their appearance. And then you have a 12-year-old poor boy from the country among them. Probably an interesting sight. And verse 44 adds to it. It says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Isn't that interesting? The country boy there among the very learned, and he's keeping pace with them and maybe outpacing them in a lot of ways. That's an interesting picture in my mind to see that and see what was going on. And then when Mary and Joseph see him, verse 48, it says, they were amazed, and his mother said, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why did you do this? Behold, thy father and I, that's Joseph and that's his stepfather, have sought thee sorrowing. And then Jesus' response, verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? And to me, brethren, that's a way of saying, this is my interpretation now, you may differ, but he's saying, didn't you know where to look? Why could you not find me? Wist ye not? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? When you think about it, the temple should be the first place to look for me. I must be about my Father's business. Brethren, that's the title of the lesson, My Father's Business. I have always, for many years as I've read this scripture, that term, my Father's business, has been one that I rejoice in when I read it. My Father's business. When I was a boy, my daddy would say in warning to me and admonishing to me and my brother, we were very close in age, he would say often, keep your mind on your business. And he meant a lot of different things by that, but one of the things he meant was, take care of business. Do what you're told. If I send you on an errand, or if someone sends you on an errand, then take care of what you're supposed to be doing. Keep your mind on your business. Don't let your mind wander. Don't get off on something else. I don't know how many times in my young days that my daddy has said that to me, but he often said, keep your mind on your business. And what that meant was, take care of the important things. Do what you're supposed to do. Brethren, Jesus came to do His Father's business. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Brother Ralph said, I think this morning in Bible study, he said something that I was going to say to you. That Jesus, brethren, He took care of the Father's business. And when He finished it, He said, it is finished. Aren't you glad that He carried it to the very end? That He accomplished the purpose for which He came? The angel would say to Mary, He shall save His people from their sins. He's going to do that. That was Brother Jimmy in his prayer. He said, Jesus came down here for the purpose of saving us from our sins, or words to that effect. He said in his prayer, brethren, aren't you glad that Jesus kept His mind on His business? I'm so thankful that He could say, when He accomplished it, it's now done. It's complete. It's finished. Nothing else needs to be done on the part of me or you or anyone else with regard to your eternal salvation. It's finished. Jesus said, I must be about My Father's business. And He took care of it and He completed it. You can think of the life of Jesus in those approximate 33 years. The last three approximate of it, when it was in His public ministry. He was always about the Father's business, always. He was a faithful servant. He said, I came not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. A faithful steward, a faithful servant is so good. I've been reading in Genesis of late, and I just read this week, I think, about the servant of Abraham who was sent. Abraham and Sarah didn't want a son of the Canaanites for Isaac, their son. And Abraham sent his trusted servant back to the homeland where Abraham had come from to get a wife for Isaac. And he picked out his trustworthy servant and gave him some business to tend to. And that servant, after he'd received those instructions, he said to Abraham, what if the woman will not come back with me? Abraham had said, you go back and God will guide you and bless you, and He'll lead you to the one that will be the wife for Isaac. And so the servant says, okay, but what if I find her and she won't come back with me? And you know what Abraham said? He said, more or less, you just keep your mind on your business. You do what you're told, and God will take care of the rest. He says, in fact, if she won't come back, then you're relieved of your instructions. It's all right. But you just take care of the business that I'm giving you. And that servant went, brethren, as he was instructed. He took care of business. And as he was at that well, praying that God would lead him to the damsel that was intended to be the wife of Isaac. And you know what happened? Before he even got the prayer out of his mouth, finished praying it, here comes Rebecca. Here she comes. He had asked for a sign. He said, let the one who comes and I'm going to ask for a drink of water. And if she says, yes, I'll give you a drink of water. And not only that, I'll give water for your camels also. The man said, Lord, let that be the one. And before he even finished praying that prayer, here she comes. And he asks for a drink of water, and she says, yes, sir, you can have a drink of water, and not only that, I'll give water to your camels also. And that old faithful servant, brethren, begins to rejoice. He rejoices, and he gives her a golden earring and puts golden bracelets on her wrist and says, the Lord has led me to the house of my boss. Abraham. He's led me in the right way. Brethren, he took care of business. Jesus took care of business. And now, the second and last point I want to make to you is this. Do you know you and I have business to take care of? Do you know that that Father in heaven, Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're part of the Godhead. But Jesus referred to God the Father as His Father. And He says, I come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's the Father. And when you and I, brethren, we're not part of the Godhead. We're not part of the Trinity. But brethren, we have a heavenly Father. When Jesus gave the model prayer, one of the first two words He said for us to use, our Father. And you know, brethren, that you have some business to tend to also, you and I. And we need to be busy about our Father's business. This is the second Sunday in the year that we call 2018. We've just stepped through the door of a new year. And in thinking and praying about what I might say to you and what text, I was reading about the visit of the wise men 2 weeks ago, and we studied about that. And then the next thing that happens in the recorded Gospels that I know of, where they depart, and the next time we're told about Jesus and what He's doing, He's 12 years old, and He's taking care of business. And I thought, that's a good thing. Maybe we'll go right on with the chronology of the life of Christ. And in that Sunday that I'm to be at this church right here to preach the Word of God, I'm going to preach about my Father's business and how Jesus, as a young lad, young in His life, He's eternal. He's always been. He's never had a beginning. But young in years, chronological years of God in the flesh, brethren, He's taking care of business. And I want to, as we begin a new year, as we call it, I want to urge you and I want to urge me to take care of business this year. We've got business to take care of. Jesus was faithful to His Father in taking care of His business. Are you? Have you been? And here's the thing, brethren. Here's the thing. If you haven't been, this year is only 2 weeks old. You got room for, you can change. God, I was talking to the pest control man that comes and sprays my house this week. He loves to talk about the Lord. That's all he wants to talk about. And it's all we get to preaching, and he doesn't get his work done sometimes. Doesn't get his business taken care of. We preach to one another. He was with me this week, and I told him, I said, Brother, this year it is hardly 2 weeks old, and I'm already stumbling. And we talked about how God is the God of second chances and how He loves us. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have consolation in that. And the year is young, and we can always get back on it and take care of business. Brethren, one of the things that I've started, and I hope you will, if you haven't, I hope you'll begin studying God's Word in a regular and orderly fashion. I've told you before, I think, that I found a reading through the Bible in a year thing. There are. You can read the Bible in chronological order. You can read it in the books of the order that they're in there. Or there are various ways. There are all kinds of ways. I'm doing that again this year, and God blessed me to do it and to keep up and to carry on. And it's, you need that. I've tried to resolve to pray more, spend more time in prayer, taking care of the business of the study of God's Word. Of going to God in prayer more often and longer and more fervently, praying without ceasing. That's one of the things we're commanded to do, brethren, is study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And a good way to learn how to rightly divide it, brethren, is to learn it, to assimilate it, to read it, to study it prayerfully. And then praying without ceasing, praying more. And then, brethren, letting my light shine, letting others see Christ in me. Those are all ways, brethren, that I can take care of my Father's business. God saved you, and He saved me. He created you, and I are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Brethren, that's the business that we are to be about. Our Father's business, good works. Have you done any yet this year? I'll bet you have. If you haven't, then the year's only 2 weeks old. You got time. God willing, if He blesses you to live in this year and see it. Jesus took care of His Father's business when He was 12 years old. Chronologically, in the years of His flesh, when He was made flesh and began to dwell among us. He said, "Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? And I say to you, brethren, don't you know that you need to be about your Father's business? I know it, and you know it." And may God bless you in this year. If He spares you, and if He spares me, bless us to be about His business. Above all, there's a verse in Colossians that says, whatever your hand finds to do, I think I've got it marked here. Whatsoever ye do this year, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, preaching the Word, trying to preach the Word, it's obvious that that's the Lord's work and is the Lord's business. But I'll leave here in a little while, and God willing, tomorrow I'll be doing something secular. But that doesn't mean it's not the Lord's business. It's the way I do it. If I do it heartily unto the Lord, I may be on my tractor. I don't know what I'll be doing. I may be planting a tree. But whatever it is, brethren, I need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And speaking of trees, I'm going to close with this illustration. A friend of mine sent me something on the internet a few days ago, and here's what it said. It was a question with an answer. Two questions and two answers. The first question was, when's the best time to plant a tree? And the answer to that question that was supplied was 20 years ago. You know, you get it? And then it said, when's the next best time to plant a tree? And the answer was today. Do you see what I saw in that? There was no explanation with it. It was just two questions and two answers. But what I saw in that was, you know, it would be nice to have a grove of trees out there, pine trees or pecan trees, that I planted 20 years ago, because they'd be bearing fruit right now. The pines would maybe be ready to cut and harvest. The pecan trees or whatever else is the other kind of tree would be bearing fruit at this point. Well, I didn't. But the next best thing is get out there and do it now. Do it now. About last week on Tuesday, a fellow that helps me and I, we went and we planted some trees. And I'm already wishing they were bigger, but at least I planted them, you see? If you didn't do it already, there's no time like the present. So, brethren, we're 2 weeks into this year. Go ahead and take care of business. Go ahead and do it. And God bless you in this year to come. God bless your labors to be fruitful. And God bless you and me to take care of our Father's business this year. Oh, Father, thank you for blessing us to see another year, the beginning of a new year. We ask that you spare us in this year. We ask that you bless us to labor and that our labors would bear fruit. We ask your blessing upon us. Father, if it's not your will, that your will be to take us home to be with you, we know we have the promise. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And whether we live or whether we die, we are yours. As was prayed already, forever and ever, we will be with you. We thank you for that truth. If you do spare us in this year, Lord, bless us to take care of your business. And whatever we do, that we might do it heartily as unto you. May we let our light shine this year. May we labor for you. In the name of Jesus, who took care of his Father's business, we ask it, that name above every name. Amen. Brethren, we're going to stand and sing a hymn now, and I announce to you the open door of this church. If you love God, it's because he first loved you.